Greetings, friends, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com, and that's where you go to find the archives and to support this mission of delivering the good news and delivering the Word of God. I apologize this morning if my voice sounds off and if I sound off today. I've been sick for the last few days. This will actually be my third day of missing work, which I haven't had to miss that many days of work in 10, 15 years. I think the last time I had to miss work like this, I had mono or something. I can't remember. But it was a very, very long time ago. But even still, I'm trying to muscle through and get this podcast out to you this morning because I want you to have the bread. I want you to have the meat. I want you to be fed. Because the work of God must go on regardless of how we feel. Although yesterday I would not have been able to pull together long enough to record, but I think we can get it done this morning. So be praying for me that it seems just like a sinus infection type of thing. You know, but just be praying for me that it would just pass, that I would be better, so I can return to work next week and I can continue to put out these podcasts to your voice when your ministry is through voice, through microphone. You know, sinus infection can really wreck your work, so please pray for me today. We are going to resume our study. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 9. This is our gospel portion, and it's verse 10 through 17. This is also one of those verses that show, again, why we use the King James Bible, and not the more modern translations like the NIV or the ESV and others. And I'll point that out to you when we get to it, and then we'll resume our study in the book of Acts. We're ready for chapter 13, which is where Paul and Barnabas begin to be sent out to preach the good news. And we see this development of where the Jews are rejecting this message, and for selfish reasons, as we'll see. Same reasons they rejected Christ. But then the Gentiles just joyfully receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you've received the good news of Jesus Christ joyfully in your own heart. All right, let's begin. I'm not on limited time, but I don't know how long I can keep it together. So let's get started. We're going to start with our gospel portion for this morning. Matthew chapter 9. Let's read this King James Bible for sure this time, and I'll show you why. Verses 10 through 17. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But Jesus heard that, and he said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples do not fast? Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and they shall fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up is taken from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. All right. So the first thing I want to address is the very first verse. And Jesus passed forth from thence and saw a man named Matthew sitting, and it came to pass that Jesus sat at the meat in the house. And behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. So people will use this verse, first of all, to say, see, Jesus would be at the bars. He'd be out with sinners. And I'm just like, are you serious? No, he would not. He was righteous and holy. He is the Holy One. Just because he sat down to have dinner and some sinners would come to sit with him to hear him speak does not mean that he'd be running around in places like a bar. There was a church that's a very famous church that just did a whole skit. And this just shows you the depravity of church in America. Did a whole skit about Jesus being born in a bar. And I'm just like, are you serious? How filthy. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to focus on. What I wanted to focus on is, so the Pharisees see him eating with tax collectors and sinners, and they're having a fit about it. And Jesus makes the comment, verse 12, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And here's the line. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, if you read the ESV or the NIV, I'll read from the NIV. He says, for I come not to call the righteous, but sinners. And you see him when you read that, he's like, oh, well, Jesus, he didn't come for the righteous. He came for me, a sinner. Oh, he came to call sinners. Well, King James gets it right. He didn't come to just call sinners. He came to call sinners to do something. And this is the part people like to leave out. And this is the part that these new translations like to leave out. He didn't just come to call sinners, like the ESV says here. He came to call sinners to repent. There's a big difference between I came to call sinners and I come to call sinners to repentance. You see, when the scriptures say, I came to call sinners, that lets them off the hook. That's where it ends. Well, I'm a sinner. Jesus called me. All right. But no, he called you to do something. He called you to repent. And that's just one of many examples why we read the King James Bible. Because the King James doesn't conveniently leave out the repent part. And of course, there's many scriptures where the modern translations just leave things out completely. All that is discussed in my podcast, Why the King James Bible, which you can find at the website at www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Okay, I feel myself rambling. Let's move on to chapter 13 of the book of Acts, where we have Paul and Barnabas sent out. By the way, Saul was Paul's name, Shaul. He was also called Paul, which we'll see in the scriptures. His name was not changed to Paul. It's believed that he probably had a Hebrew name, Shaul, and he probably had a Roman name, Paul. And it is probably true that when he would appear before Gentiles, especially in the Roman world, he would use his Roman name, Paul. But people seem to think that when Paul was converted, he had a name change like Abraham or something. That's nowhere to be found in the scriptures. Nowhere does it say his name was changed to Paul. There's one place right here that we're going to read in chapter 13 where it says he was also called Paul. And so I just want to clear that up. I know these little things are not that important, but to me, I feel like I can't stand, even when it's a small thing, for there just to be a general belief within Christianity that's just based on nothing but a lie. That's just not true. And even though it's irrelevant, really, because we know him as Paul, he actually was also called Paul. It's just, I just don't like that a lot of Christians are brought up to believe that his name was changed by God or something supernatural there on the road to Damascus or whatever. And that's not what took place, so just wanted to clear that up. All right, let's take a look at Acts chapter 13. Let's begin. King James Bible, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Real quick, there's something, just one theme that I've noticed in the Bible is when people are really looking for answers from God, usually it comes through fasting. Or maybe I even shouldn't even use the word usually, but you see it where it comes through fasting. As an example, you have the church here in Antioch fasting and praying, and then God speaks to them and says, "Hey, I need you to separate me, Saul and Barnabas, to do this, do a work." Likewise, in the book of Daniel, Daniel has a vision. He's disturbed. He wants to know what it means, and he does what we call the Daniel fast for 21 days. Now, he didn't set out to fast for 21 days. This is how long it took for the message to come from God. So that's how long he fasted. He fasted until he got a word. And he describes, you can go look in the book of Daniel, he describes what his fast looked like. But there's something about fasting, and it seems to be kind of a lost art within Christianity. And even I have to admit, shamefully, that I do not fast often enough. I really should fast more, and we all have our excuses as to why we don't, or whatever. But there's some power in fasting, in that, you're denying yourself, you're denying your flesh, and then you're more receptive to fill that with God and with prayer, and to hear a word from God. So I just thought I would throw that out there. Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Cilicia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. And when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John in their minister. And when Paul had gone through the isles unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. You know, we have a lot of false prophets, sorcerers in our midst today. We need to be able to identify them. We need to be able to turn them off. You know, not listen when they're blaspheming, when they're clearly preaching false doctrines. But there's a lot of false doctrines going around right now, and a lot of movements that are very appealing, some that even I've found myself, you know, entertaining, because they're so good at their craft. But if you stay in the Word and you stay praying, you know, you won't be deceived. Jesus warns that in the last days, you know, the very first thing he says, don't be deceived, because many are going to come in my name. And then he goes on to say that still be those who claim to be him. But I think also when he says many will come in my name, he's not just referring to those who would say they are Christ, but those who come in the name of Christ, yet they are deceivers, yet they are really sorcerers, manipulators, false prophets. Let's read that again. And when they had gone through the isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. See, they also want you to know that he was Jewish. You know, when you're reading through the book of Acts, and when you read through the church fathers, and people are going to get mad at me when I say this, but this, if you read the church fathers, they were very clear about this. One of the biggest problems is from the Jewish people, because they don't like that Christianity has torn down some of these things that they hold so dear. They don't like the idea of Christ being the high priest now instead of the Levitical priesthood. Christ, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, because it tears down that whole system. And they don't like that Christ says the kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to another. You see, you don't hear this stuff preached very often because it really rubs people the wrong way, especially those who are more concerned with Mount Sinai than they are with Calvary. Those who are more concerned with the Star of David than they are with the cross of Christ. And look, I'm not bringing this up to just stir feathers. It's just we see the scriptures here, especially in the book of Acts, pointing this out all the time very clearly. If you read the church fathers, one of the biggest issues that they were having in the day was Jewish Christians, or those who professed to be Christ but were also Jewish but were heaping some of these other things on. We're going to see more of it as we get into Acts chapter 15, where you had the Jews coming in saying, no, you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. Faith in Christ is not enough. So you have to be weary of these things, and we see this kind of coming about again today within Christianity again, of similar movements like this. And my thing is always this. To me, none of it matters, because Paul says there is no longer Jew or Gentile. It's irrelevant. All that matters is faith in Christ. That's all that matters. Faith in Jesus. So I didn't mean to go off on a little tangent there. It's just I'm running into this a lot, and I have been for a few years now, especially as someone who studies the Hebrew language, and we talk about some of these things, and we talk about the feast, because I don't want people to be ignorant about what the Old Testament has to say. But in that, my work also kind of invites some of that in, and then you kind of have to have those battles. But anyway, let me move forward. Which was the deputy of the county. Let me start back over with verse 6. And when they had gone through the isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the county, of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, so there's your verse. It doesn't say his name was changed, it just says he was also called that. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And now for this next several verses, friends, what we're going to hear is one of the first sermons ever preached by Paul. And you'll notice that the preaching is very simple. It's quotes from the scriptures and making those points and pointing to Jesus. This is how he preached. Here's what the scriptures say. Here's the connection. Here's how it points to Jesus Christ. Here we go. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years unto Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave the testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witness unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same to us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that, he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on a sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets, Behold, ye desirers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. He's quoting Habakkuk there. Verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. All right, so you have Paul. He preaches a sermon. He preaches Jesus Christ dying for our sins, God raising him from the dead, and anybody who believes in this shall be saved. The Gentiles come and say, please come back next Sabbath and preach this again. We want to hear more. And so the next Sabbath rolls around, and the scriptures say that nearly the whole town shows up. You see, this is what happens when God's word is actually preached. Because people are starving for it. Oh, that pastors would understand that they don't have to push fluffy little messages. They don't have to entertain and have big bright screens and fancy displays and fancy little videos and make jokes and... Oh, that they would understand that what the people really want is just the word of God. And it says, the whole city, nearly the whole city shows up. Verse 45, But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of the everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God. And as many were ordained to eternal life, believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Well, there you have it. There is Acts chapter 13. And our gospel portion for this morning. I pray in Jesus' name that it's blessed you, that it's spoken to your heart. Again, I apologize for my voice, and if I'm a little out of it, again, please pray for me that I will be better by Monday. Well, that's all I have for you this morning, friends. It's time for me to go back to bed. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.